You're listening to Guitar Goddess Radio.
I'm so happy to be sitting down with you today. I absolutely love not only your music, I love everything about you. You're just like this all-around artist, and I'm just so, so psyched that you took the opportunity to sit with us today because you are amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Yes, I mean, I have so many questions, and I just want to dive right in with the music and start there. When did you start all of this bubble of creation? You know, you're a songwriter, you're a producer, you know, you're a director, you're an artiste, you're a Reiki master, you've got Reiki symbols on your guitar. I mean, come on. I was like, this is my kind of girl.
Started when I was really little, and you know, I mean, even when I was five, I saw Annie and I wanted to be Annie. I ran around saying the sun will come out tomorrow and that's who I'm going to be when I grow up. So I mean, I knew from a very, very early age that I was going to be a performer and that it had something to do with music. And then in my early teens, I actually started writing started experimenting with original stuff, but I started writing stories and poems even in like first and second grade. So I really started as a writer. That was kind of my first creative, you know, the first flow of creativity that came through. And then it just, you know, instead of going to college, I joined a band. I went on tour. And then I realized it was really, really, really hard to make any money just being a musician. So then I started working in the industry slowly but surely. And then it just kind of grew over the years. And you know, I've been doing it for a long time now, so.
Now, let's talk about your writing a bit. You know, you said you started with poems, and I hear that a lot. Like, at what point did they go from being stories and poems to being songs?
In sixth grade, my folks gave me a little keyboard, and I would, my mom would have to come into my room and tell me to go to bed, because I'd be up until 1 or 2 in the morning, even though I had to go to school the next day, playing on my keyboard. And so that was really the first, and I had had piano lessons early on, but once I started to, you know, realize that I could connect my words with the instrument, mm-hmm. and really, you know, use my voice to kind of bridge those two worlds, then, you know, it just was natural at that point, and it just kind of started to flow out. And of course, at the, you know, in the early days, it was all about, you know, boys and not knowing anything about life. Moved on to more universal themes later on.
So in your songwriting process, what comes first now? Is it the music or is it the lyrics?
Neither really. Okay. Nowadays, it's kind of, I'm much more intentional with my songwriting and I'm more intuitive. You know, back in the day, back in the day.
Like 2 years ago.
When I first started writing on guitar, because somewhere along the way I realized, you know, I couldn't take a keyboard anywhere. Yeah. I couldn't take a piano anywhere with me. I didn't really want to be a keyboard player because, you know, in the late 80s and 90s, at that point, it was already on the way out the door that keyboards were actually cool. So I picked up the guitar. Once I started writing on guitar, it sort of became this kind of thing that I had to do either or first, because I was still developing myself as a singer-songwriter, and actually if I played guitar well, I was singing, one or the other would suffer. So I would start with either a melody in my head and then bring the guitar in, or I would start on the guitar and then write the melody to the chords that I had written. Now it's sort of like a more intuitive process where I have a sense that a song is there, mm-hmm. and it's waiting to be paid attention to, and then I sit down and write, and it just comes out both at the same time.
Amazing. That's incredible. You know, I hear so many people, they're like, oh, you know, I struggle with this music, and it's, you know, I have this song I've been working on for months, and I can't seem to get it out, but there's something about working intuitively that you eliminate a lot of that time and energy into trying to force the song out before it's ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, you mentioned Reiki. I mean, Reiki is a very, I've always been interested in, you know, meditation and very sensitive to energy. And I see music as a similar energy in the way that, you know, just the universal energy of life flows through us and flows through everything. I see music as being this universal, ever-present and available energy that's just there and ready for us to tap into at any point of time. And if we can get to that point where we can tap into it, then it just starts to happen without struggle, without anything in the way. And that's really where the approach that I come from when I teach people and when I help people write songs, because I have a lot of people that will come to me and just say, I just can't do it. I don't know what, you know. So it's really getting them to that vulnerable and intimate space where they can just open up and get out of their own way to allow the song to come, to allow the creativity to happen, and to allow the melody to come. And it's so cool to see somebody else kind of have that experience. And most people will, when they get to that point where there's that light bulb that goes off, they just kind of go, oh, well, I was overthinking it all this time. I didn't realize it was just so simple. All I had to do was let it happen.
Yes, it's totally true. You know, and speaking of Reiki, we started off on that a little bit. You know, I really want to talk about, you know, combining the spiritual arts with the musical arts, you know, in your process with that. I understand there's really no process. It's just about allowing. But can you elaborate on that a little bit more about how you go about merging the two together?
Let me turn that sound off real quick. Okay, there we go. Reiki came to me at a point in my life where I really, really, really needed it. And that was also the point in my life where my music really started to flourish and I really started to express bigger ideas and more universal life themes in my music, rather than it just being about my own personal experience. I really started to intentionally write music that could be embraced by other people, and people could take their own message away from it. And a lot of those ideas, a lot of those themes, even though they might have been masked in a metaphor, a lot of those themes were really about nurturing and developing a spiritual side of our life, and really using the energy and using our life experience as a way, as a, you know, a way to grow emotionally and spiritually. And for me, music and that really the sensitivity to energy has gone hand in hand. I mean, there's a difference that I felt, you know, kind of before and after really bringing in that, you know, the spiritual energy into, you know, more of the forefront of my life. I became a different person on stage, and it started to feel different. And I think people started to respond differently, where it was just everything went much deeper. Everything started to take on it's just taking it to kind of that next level of significance and experience. And, you know, I mean, gosh, I am a big advocate for allowing ourselves to develop emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and know that, you know, the people who allow themselves to take that path have a more enriched life experience. So, and music is that to me, but, you know, I express those themes through my music. Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. That's just something that's coming out a lot lately. You know, I've talked to a lot of artists and they're like, I don't know how to balance my spiritual life with my music life. And I feel like, you know, there's this murky area and you don't cross over, and how do you do it? And I feel like you are someone that just embodies that. And you're just a wonderful example for many artists who are conflicted about how to be a spiritual being and a musical being at the same time.
Right, right. Well, and when I was in Chicago, that's where I'm from, and that's where I really, like, entered into the scene and entered into the music community and really just worked the city and you know, did everything I could to get out there, developed a good following. That was also the place where I discovered Reiki and really started entering into that community too. So in Chicago, I was able to kind of bring the communities together. Mm-hmm. But then when I got here to San Diego 6 years ago, I held back a little bit of that part of myself, you know, just because there's a lot of, in the music scene, it's, you know, there's a hipster mentality or whatever, and it's about being cool, and not everybody is developing that side of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's not always the forefront of my conversation as I'm going out into the world and meeting other bands and other musicians and other media people and that kind of stuff. But then as I was here for a period of time, I sort of realized that, like, you know, that I definitely shouldn't hold back that stuff anymore. And then, you know, now I'm definitely centered again. But I feel like, yeah, there was, when I first got here, there was a little bit of how do I bring those two forces back together? And it just took a little time, and it took a little bit of not caring what the music community thought of me. And I'm doing, you know, I'm doing my thing, and I really can't let what they're doing or what they're thinking influence who I am and what I do.
No, that's absolutely correct. Thank you so much for sharing that, because that is just something that I hear over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, how do I bring it together? How do I bring it together? And you just do it. You just are. You're a spiritual being, and, you know, you wear that proudly, and your music is going to come through, you know, because you are that grounded, you know, spiritual being. And, you know, I just so appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, you talked a little bit about the scene and developing a following and that sort of thing. You know, for someone new who's just starting out, you know, how would you, or what would you recommend to them about getting their following? You hear so much about YouTube and, you know, getting Facebook friends, and it used to be MySpace, you know, but a lot of it is really, you know, getting on the ground floor and just getting out there and building your following. Can you give some advice about that?
I think a big, big, huge part of it, I mean, you know, we all know the resources that are available to us, and really it comes down to being willing to do the work. Everybody has, you know, a little bit of a fantasy, per se. I mean, it certainly can be reality, but at the same time, even when we're just starting out, it's like we're still thinking that we're going to be discovered and somebody's going to do all the work for us. And that's just not the case. It may be the case at some point along the way, but until that opportunity comes along, you have to be willing to do the work. And that means, you know, really talking to people after your shows, not being the rock star, engaging people, and really working your social networks. And don't just put your video up on YouTube and expect it's going to be a million hits. You know, you got to, I mean, everybody's got to do the work and promote. And, you know, I mean, treating it as a business is another, you know, another aspect that we don't, you know, we as creative people don't always embrace, is that, you know, there's a certain element that we have to just take into our whole experience of it, is that, you know, it is a business and we do have to try to make money. And making money doing something also means doing work.
Yes. Definitely. And one thing I also love about you is that you're not just doing music, you're doing voiceover, you're, you know, doing songs for other projects. Can you touch a little bit on that as well? You know, how do you balance it all? How do you manage, you know, you're working on your own project and you're helping someone else with their project, maybe working on a song for a film, you know, maybe producing an album. I mean, you are just, you've got a lot of balls in the air, but it doesn't seem like it's overwhelming. It seems like you just do it so effortlessly.
Yeah, well, I mean, a big part of it, and, you know, since I moved to San Diego 6 years ago, I mean, before that time, I had jobs. I was working for other people, and, you know, I actually had a paycheck coming in, which was really nice. But at the same time, I didn't have, you know, I wasn't able to create that balance in my life, that I was making money doing something and then had all this time to do creative projects. And then two and a half, almost 3 years ago, I decided that it was just that I needed all of my time and all of my energy to develop all of these different areas, and being able to devote everything into being a self-employed, independent artist that was actually making money in my career. And a lot of that meant now I'm going to do a lot more production, I'm going to teach lessons, I'm going to help other people write songs. So it kind of started to roll relatively quickly, which was nice. I mean, say I, You know, I left my job that had a paycheck, which was working in recording studios. I mean, I've managed recording studios for 15 years, so it's like I'm in my industry. But at the same time, still working for other people. And you know, I have ideals about how I want to run a business and how I'd want to run a studio. But if I'm not the final call on making those decisions, I can't really do it the way that I'd like. And so, you know, I finally made that decision that, okay, well, I'm clearly not able to do, to take things to the level that I want to take them to under the reign of somebody else. So I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to do whatever it takes and make that decision that no matter what, I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to make my career wholeheartedly in the music business, and it's going to, every talent that I have that I can utilize to make money, it's all going to come together, and it's going to mean that I have, you know, that I'm able to pay my bills, and I'm able to make a living, and this is my career now. I'm not going to work for anybody else ever again. So it was just really, you know, making that decision, that no matter what, I'm going to do this no matter what. So I don't have responsibilities to other people. And I don't, you know, so it's like, at however many hours there are in the week that I can work, I fill them up and I make money. So that's a big part of it. And I know a lot of creatives, you know, they do have to devote themselves to working a day job that doesn't serve their creative path and their endeavors. And, you know, that's a big thing. I feel very blessed and fortunate to be able to bring in all those other, talents and, you know, so yeah.
And it takes courage, you know, it takes courage to do that. And I honor you for doing that.
Thank you. And I also found that, and I wasn't quite sure about this because, you know, getting into the production and I mean, I've always taught, I've always been a vocal coach and helped other people, you know, write songs a little bit, but I, you know, I wasn't quite tapped into the source when I first started doing it. And, but what I found is that when I'm producing music for other people and I'm helping other people write songs or I'm writing songs for other people, it's equally as fulfilling as working on my own music. And as a matter of fact, it's almost more so because I don't overanalyze things. I don't make it more complex than it is. My goal is to always make it simple. So as I started working with and for other people, I also started to take some of those new you know, those new feelings and those new viewpoints and then apply them back onto my own career. And I, you know, I just found that I was able to better get out of my own way too.
And that brings us to your latest project. Yes. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I keep listening to Time Bomb and yes. One of These Days, and I'm just like, okay, tell us all about it. We're excited, and I want all the guitar goddesses and all of our viewers to go and check out your music. So tell us all about it. I just want people to hear about your process, you know, putting it together. You did it, you know, in two different studios, it looks like, and it seemed like a real labor of love for you. So can you share that with us?
Yeah, well, actually, Time Bomb was supposed to be, there was two EPs, the EP before that, and then Time Bomb was the latest one, and it was actually supposed to be a full record, and that, it didn't really happen that way, so in the transition between the two EPs, I joined my current team at Capricorn Studios downtown San Diego, which was appropriate, since that was where Time Bomb was actually supposed to happen.
Okay.
But it's sort of, how do I want to say, that particular EP signifies sort of a changing of the tides for me in a way. It was the record that I wished I would have made, you know, made in 1999. I've always felt a little bit, you know, before or after my time in a way. But it kind of, I had kind of stepped upon this path of making really, you know, poignant, melodic rock songs that had some power and had some juice behind them, and I think I finally, you know, achieved that in this EP. And Time Bomb, the title track, is really, I just, you know, it seems like that's kind of where we are as a society, and we're all sort of either waiting for the bomb to go off or the paradigm shift to happen.
Yes.
And the closer and closer we get, it's like everybody's kind of winking at each other, going, yep, I know it, I know it, I can feel it too, I can feel it too. So, you know, that project was really, yeah, it was a labor of love, but at the same time, it was also sort of it signified for me personally as an artist sort of a birth into my next era, because the next record that's coming out is totally and completely different. So,
are you going to share a little bit with us about that record, or is that still under wraps?
The new one, yeah. It's called Parlor Songs, Love and Heartbreak.
Ooh.
And I never really focused too much on writing songs about love or heartbreak because I thought everybody else did, and I wanted to stay a little bit more on universal themes. But so I decided to put them all in one record. And of course, the you know, initial concept idea was sparked by, you know, my failing relationship. So it's a concept record. All of the songs are about various stages of love and heartbreak, and I wrote 5 of the songs with other people because I didn't want to just tell my story. And each of the songs has an original drawing part that goes along with it. And, you know, all the classic, the breakup themes, but also One True Love. There's a song about, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell that it's a song about, like, how much we love our pets called Fetch. But it sounds like a flirting song. And then, yeah, so it's kind of, for me, it's been ultimately the ultimate healing journey of my heart.
Mm.
And that's the intention that I will put out to the world. This record will be the same thing for other folks. I mean, because I do have a very balanced spiritual side to myself as an artist, I also put that into my music. So my intention with Parlor Songs is to put it out into the world to help people experience and heal and get to a place so that they understand what perfect love is to them.
Hmm. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it's acoustic electro. It's different than the rock stuff. So it's like acoustic guitar vocals, and then we built electronic tracks around it. So it's kind of a different sound too.
Cool. Now, what is your setup these days? You know, what are you using guitar wise? Amps, pedals. Tell us about what you're digging.
My electric guitar is made by Paul Unkert. It's a custom guitar. I got the 101st guitar off the line.
Wow.
Paul used to make Kramer basses in the 80s and 90s, the ones with the little U-shaped mm-hmm. top. So that's what my guitar looks like. And I'm using Mesa Boogie, Lone Star amp. Takamine acoustic guitars is what I've always used. I love those guitars. You can, you know, take them wherever you want, beat them around and drop, and you just still manage to sound amazing. I've never really gotten into pedals too much. I just really have always, you know, it's like I have a good amp sound that I like mm-hmm. to use on all of my songs, and then just acoustic guitar DI. And so I just like to kind of keep it simple and I do have an LD guitar player in my band to kind of let him be the guy that changes his tones around a little bit and backs me up. So I just wanted to keep it simple.
Nice, nice. And last question, what's in your iPod? What are you listening to these days?
Oh, God. You know, honestly, I've been listening to a lot of things without vocals lately.
Okay.
I'm launching a new company, the Mic Network, the Music Industry Cooperative Network, and we will be we're the solution for what labels are no longer doing to develop independent artists and new talent.
Nice.
So I've been really, really doing a lot of business development, mm-hmm. and so when I do that, I use instrumental, like ambient electronic trip-hop, music to kind of back up what I'm doing. And then I've honestly been listening to a lot of classical music lately. I'm such a nerd.
You're not a nerd. I do that every day.
What'd you say?
I said, you're not a nerd. I love my classical every day.
I know. It just, you know, as I'm, it stimulates a part of my brain that is really just, I mean, developing the concept of this business, it's like I'm really, really, really expanding quite a bit, and my I feel like the ambient music and the classical music, it stimulates part of my brain that just needs it right now. So
awesome. Any artist in particular?
Not really. Okay. I've just been very, I tend to not get fixated upon anyone. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. However, Emily Sande, an artist, I've been listening to her recently. She's amazing. I love soul singers, and I love how she's taken a soul element and putting electronics to it, which is really cool. So I have been listening to her quite a bit. And then like Ellie Goulding a little bit, some of that indie electro stuff that's coming out is really cool. Metric is always awesome. So, yeah.
Awesome. And tell us where we can find more information about you and what you're up to these days.
Well, astrakelly.com, of course. And I actually, on my time bomb EP where it says contact, I just put Google me because I've been doing it long enough. So if you Google Astra Kelly, you'll get 3 pages of information. And, you know, of course, I've got all my social networking in place. But astrakelly.com is the greatest, is the best spot to find me online. And, you know, I'm focusing on this record right now. So when this, I'm not quite, you know, playing, touring as much, but when this record comes out, I'll be coming to a city near you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with me today. I totally appreciate it. And I know all the goddesses are going to appreciate your words of wisdom. And I know that you are just going to inspire so many people once they hear your words. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're listening to Guitar Goddess Radio with Azina.